Sakanga, thank you very much for joining me for a voice coffee with the editor. We're here at the Continental Workshop on the implementation of the African Integrated High-Speed Railway Network. My goodness, that is a mouthful. What's Sara's role here?
A pleasure to have you as the media covering this event. It's very important for railway visibility, continental visibility of railway, and development we are going towards is very important that it's pronounced across the region, because really without knowing what the plan is, then we are not heading anywhere. So what is Sara doing here? Very good question, and it is one which is very broad. Sara, as you are aware, is a subsidiary organization of SADC. It's railway specialized, and our job is mainly to advance the railway development agenda for the region. Our job looks at corridor development. This workshop we are having this week is about corridors, basically, in the sense that it is the Program for Infrastructure Development Project, which is looking at continental railway coordination. It is centered on the Africa Union High-Speed Railway Project, which has prioritized railway links across the region. Essentially, those are corridors. In SADC, we have two corridors which have been prioritized to be like the first on the master plan for the Africa High-Speed Railway. You have the Beira Corridor, which is Zambia, Zimbabwe, through to Beira Port in Mozambique. And then you also have the Namibian corridor, but mainly Namibia through Botswana and then joining to the grid of the North-South corridor.
Two corridors fall within the Sahara region, but I think the conversations that we've heard over the last 2 days are actually bigger than that in terms of the role that Sahara can play.
Correct.
From a standardization, from from a, you know, ensuring, because obviously we're all aware that any new railway project is going to be standard gauge.
Correct.
And SARA members have quite a few projects on the go in various stages in terms of development and forward going projects. So the broader role here in terms of the conversation that you've been having, there's a bigger role for SARA to play. What is that?
The bigger role for SARA to play, again, stems from the corridors, but the efficacy of principles around it, like you have highlighted. A corridor essentially means working together. So you need certain fundamentals in place for you to work together. A railway regional corridor currently, whether it's in SADC, whether it's in EAC, whether it's in COMESA, you are talking about, first of all, governments agreeing on the mode of play. That calls for intergovernmental agreements. What is SARA bringing to the table? We have developed an end-to-end business process framework which guides. It's like a guide, it's a framework contract to guide management of railway corridors. That has to be supported by government multilateral agreements. And a good example we gave of that is the Tazara operation, where you have a scope of a corridor, the Dar es Salaam corridor, under one legislation. Such a similar thing can be done for all corridors so that you don't have interruption. You have rules of play agreed. One other important thing we are bringing as SARA is the promotion of standards and regulation. Now, I'll delve a little bit deeper into that. Why standards? Standards pre-specify what you are going to construct. Standards also help you with maintenance. Standards also give market confidence to the customers to say this railway is operating at standard, so we don't expect derailments in simplicity. So maintenance comes into play. A lot of countries in Africa are self-regulating. So when they have standards and they are self-regulating, that gives room for a lot of compromises. But when you have regulators in place, like RSR, Railway Safety Regulator of South Africa, or LATRA, Land Transport Regulatory Authority of Tanzania. Those are policing entities making sure that the standards are complied to. As SARA, we have facilitated for the SADC region, creating a platform for all independent regulators to conform, to agree, and to promote compliance to SADC railway standards. We want this reciprocated across the continent so that even designs, when you bring in contractors, we have heard in this workshop that most of the high-speed railway projects are being developed from designs which have been drawn by the contractors who have developed them. What does that mean? That affects pricing as well. So independent audits of these construction designs are important. Who best to look at it than the regulators who will be subject matter experts and seeing that even costing then is appropriately done. So hence we are saying standards is key, but also regulation to ensure there's compliance to standards is key. Another important issue we are bringing, and we feel it's very important, we are bringing to this discussion is capacity building, human capital. As SARA, we have identified that in the SADC region, we have a few universities which are promoting skills development in the railway sector. In South Africa, here you have the Transnet Academy. In Zambia, you have the Copperbelt University working with Tazara. They are channeling out degree holders in railway. In Tanzania, you have the National Institute of Transport. So we are creating a platform where we want to harmonize human capital development for railway. We have specifically done this because we are soon developing a regional railway infrastructure master plan.
And whilst you're talking about skills, before we get to the master plan,
sure,
don't discount the University of Pretoria.
They correct.
Have an incredible railway.
Brilliant.
Program.
The University of Pretoria, University of Johannesburg, where I'm actually doing my PhD with.
Okay.
The university, and it's in railway economic regulation. The University of Pretoria, Stellenbosch, we are bringing them on board, and we are inviting all other universities who provide training in railways. What we are simply saying is this: if you are going to have an IT engineer for railways coming from University of Pretoria and one coming from Copperbelt University of Zambia, they should be comparable in the skills they are bringing to take to the market. They should even work whether in Zambia, South Africa, Angola, because their qualification is similar.
So let's get back to the master plan here.
Yeah.
I think at the last SARA conference and exhibition, I think there was an announcement that the master plan was now being developed and it's being funded. Where are you at with that?
Thank you. So the master plan has been approved for funding by the board of the Africa Development Bank. What that means is that we have terms of reference ready. We have the scope of work specified in those terms of reference, and we are ready to now procure the consultants to develop the master plan. This is not a document which will sit on the shelf like many master plans, because the terms of reference have also captured development of a bankable investment program out of the master plan.
Okay.
So you have an array of projects from the different countries in SADC, how SADC is going to connect with EAC, and out of that, there are some which will be prioritized for private sector appetite. That is bankability, to say these have good economic return. If private sector invest in them, then there's a return. That saves governments money, because then private sector takes it to bankability and constructs. And this will be done at agreed SADC standards.
How does SARA, you know, you're talking about this master plan and the development of the master plan.
Yeah.
And I understand that you're bringing consultants for that.
Mm.
But from a SARA perspective, how, and your mandate under the SADC's, you know, Southern African Development Community protocol, how does SARA then engage with each of, you know, the different countries within Southern Africa? How do you make sure that there's consistency in what's coming through from a railway perspective?
Beautiful. So I'm sitting in South Africa, so I'll start with South Africa and bring it all the way to DRC in a nutshell. You appreciate that a master plan is one which is focusing on bringing you or taking you from here to a particular horizon which you have envisioned. So this master plan is first of all saying we need energy requirements. Because when you're talking high-speed railway, we're talking electrification of railway, it needs power support. So we need to know that if we are really going to implement high-speed railway and it needs power, then we need to look at power generation points, clean energy power generation points to support railway infrastructure development. So it will not only be SARA working alone, we are looking at working with the energy sector, Southern Africa Power Pool for the SADC region. That is number one. But how do we integrate all other member states? Remember the principle of the corridor. Each country has its railway plans. As SARA, we look at the regional efficacy and how they connect. So we are saying with this SADC Railway Infrastructure Master Plan, South Africa does not need to look at connectivity on its own and do its national plan without knowing what Namibia is planning, Zambia, Malawi, Angola. We are going to say for the region, this is what we are prioritizing. So the consultant will be guided by us, SARA, and SADC Secretariat will be supervising. That's why we have the terms of reference. They are the rules of the game to say, for Zambia, these are the priorities. For Namibia, for South Africa. And this is how they interconnect. With any master plan and for railway, it's long-term investment. So you need long-term commitment. We expect this master plan adopted as the international plan for each country. Even funding will be allocated by nations for that in that respect. Corridor projects will be approved intergovernmental and everyone will need to contribute. Because I'll give you an example of the Kazungula Bridge project, which has a railway component in it. That's between Zambia and Botswana. The railway component has been constructed on the bridge. The road is open, but now there's need for railway connection from Livingstone, 70 kilometer thereabout, to Kazungula. In Botswana, it's about 280 kilometer to Lipalale from Kazungula. So you see, if there isn't that strong agreement, it won't be constructed. It will just be like a dividing line of the bridge. However, if it has been put for bankability and private sector see that it's economical, when governments fall short, private sector come in, they have a duration to run it, like we have on the Bait Bridge Bulawayo Railway. It's a private sector financed infrastructure. But later on, it will revert to government. So that is the approach. So for this one, all governments are getting the support directly for their regional or international railway planning. It can be looked at in that manner.
So you've covered the integration between, you know, the interministerial, the railway operators themselves, and the regional connectivity.
Correct.
And most of these are government entities.
Yes.
Could you bring up an interesting point in terms of, you know, the Bright Bridge Railway, which is privately run? Is SARA going to make space within their environment or within your environment to accommodate private operators who are wanting to operate or have access to networks across the Southern African region?
Excellent. Excellent question. In the sense that railway economic regulation is now in the wind. Railway economic regulation basically means you are looking at different modes of running railway. In the SADC region, for a long time, we have looked at parastatal companies, government companies running railways. But we have seen that private sector can assist. How? This is how we've started. When there's a shortfall of wagons, say you are moving wheat out of South Africa, there's a shortfall of wagons. Transnet has, in certain circumstances, arranged with the customers and say, we don't have enough wagons. Can you supply wagons to carry your wheat? Can you supply wagons to carry your coal? I'm giving an example. And the customers will say, yes, we can actually mobilize from the private sector. We'll pay for these wagons, but then you need to give us a negotiated rate because we're bringing the resource. Okay?
Great.
So looking at that model of accommodating customers, why then not have private players also running trains on the line? So this is what is called open access. And you now start looking at models of vertical separation. Basically, I'm saying there's an infrastructure manager and then there's operators running on top of the line. So in South Africa, you have got this the concept of the 16 slots where you are saying, fine, let's give these slots for private sector operation. What that means is there has to be an infrastructure manager. Will Transnet maintain the infrastructure and give access to private sector, or will they even give the infrastructure management to the private sector? That is your government's decision, but it's an approach. On Dar es Salaam corridor, Tazara is maintaining the infrastructure, but it has allowed third-party operators to also run alongside Tazara trains.
Successfully.
That is third-party access, or others refer to as open access. But there's something which needs to be done there. There's supposed to be an economic regulator to make sure that slots to the private sector are given equitably, as you are giving your own government operator. Otherwise, you'll be favoring your government operator and the private sector won't be getting enough access to the rail infrastructure. Remember, it's a single lane.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And,
yeah.
And that brings me to the next point, because there was also something that was raised. I think you raised it.
Okay.
In there, and that's more along the lines of, do we do economic regulators that are regional,
mm-hmm.
or do we need an economic regulator per country? Because my feeling is that if we have the ability to put a train here in South Africa to go all the way up
to Zambia
or even
Botswana, Angola, DRC, yeah.
Yes, on the, let's say, the North-South corridor.
Yes.
I'm thinking that that should be from a regulatory, economic regulatory point of view, that that should be managed from, in my view, a SARA level, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
And not necessarily the regulator here who says it's per ton, you know, cost per ton is X.
Yes.
Because really, at the end of the day, we try to bring down the cost of transport. We try to Correct. Make rail sexy, or, you know, do that conversion from road to rail.
Yeah.
And so we need to have that cohesion. Otherwise, it goes back to the tariff and the regulation actually stopping the interoperability between countries.
I like that you ask the question and you give a lot of hint in answering it. Okay, but it's really like this, and it boils down to the principal concept of a corridor and the fundamentals of a corridor. You are basically agreeing to come together, to work together on a particular section. What are you doing? You are breaking the bottlenecks. Interchange points, you are breaking them. Basically, you are saying you want a train to move seamless across the borders. It has to be recognized. For that to happen, you need, first of all, intergovernmental agreements so that you flex on the sovereignties and say, let's recognize that this train is a Beira corridor train and it can be labeled as such. It can move from the port of Beira all the way to DRC through Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia, up to DRC. It's recognized as such. When you do that, it means you are creating a corridor railway market. Yes?
Yes.
When you have a corridor railway market, there has to be rules, and that is economic regulatory rules. The same way you buy an air ticket as a customer from here through SAA, and you are going to Taiwan, you are going to the US, you might have a couple of connections. But as a customer, you don't want to know what's happening in the back office.
Mm-hmm.
You just get your ticket from one window. That's why we call it the single window concept. Mm-hmm. You get one ticket and you want your wagon to move from Beira all the way to DRC. You, as a customer, you don't want to know the nitty-gritties in the background. That's economic regulation. That's one rule playing. So yes, when there's an intergovernmental corridor agreement signed for economic regulation, then you also need a regulator for the corridor so that in each country, customers are safe, private operators are safe. They know that they are recognized on the Beira Railway Corridor and not on Zambia, Zimbabwe, or Mozambique section. It should be Beira Corridor, and the rules are the same. There's ICT for surveillance, digital cloud services, whatever it is. Those are corridor enablers. That can also be concessioned to private sector. You have a lot of companies doing that. It doesn't have to be the railway companies doing it. It can be franchised at a fee. Same for infrastructure, loading and offloading equipment at different points like that. Then a corridor has rules and it's being managed uniquely.
So then I'm going to take a step back.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about something else. And it may be the question probably stems from yesterday's presentation, where we're talking about the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, and we're talking about the number of wagons that would be required, and the number of so we didn't talk about locomotives, but we talked about wagons and passenger coaches and things like that.
Yeah.
If I bring that down to more of a SARA, a SADC region, and I say to you a topic that's been ongoing under the SARA banner for some time has been that leasing pool of equipment, be it locomotives, wagons, whatever.
Mm.
Has that been put aside, or is this still something that SARA is considering as like a joint operations kind of idea with members? And how do we, if it's still on the table, how do we get it going?
Excellent. So it is still on the table. We are only refining the idea. And again, going with the corridor concept, to use it as an example in how we are refining it. When a corridor is defined, then you can have a corridor wagon pool.
Yes.
It's easier.
You've also got the axle loads and all sorts.
You have got all the axle loads, all the design, the specification for that corridor. But for SADC, it's good we have SADC standards. So we are all on the same gauge, and we are basically moving towards the same axle loading and everything.
Mm.
But for a corridor, it means when you stencil, for example, Nacala corridor, Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia, and you say on this corridor, we have a pool of wagons. They are stenciled. These are the companies supplying wagons, and this is a pool you can draw from. That is recognized for the corridor, and those wagons can operate on that corridor, designed for customer centrism, the products on that corridor.
Mm.
It's easier. When you take it to SARA level, holistic, for everyone, it becomes, yes, very big, but it becomes more complex. You can imagine we have 11 SADC regional railway corridors.
Yes.
But if we have, and of course it's economies of scale, that's the beauty. The whole region is working on the same gauge, same type of corridor of wagons. What that simply means is we can negotiate with suppliers and say a rental fee in the SADC region for wagons is this rate, as opposed to this market rate. We negotiate it using the law of large numbers. It's a bulk purchase.
Yes.
But with a corridor, it means you can tie that leasing to three companies and not one.
Correct.
And they already have corridor customers. So you are giving them more negotiation power.
So yeah. Give me a timeline, because actually that's probably one of the most exciting things.
Okay, so the SADC ministers, yes, the SADC ministers at their meeting of 2021 approved this concept on the North-South Corridor, the project which was financed by SADC. The funds are being managed by DBSA, Development Bank of Southern Africa. We're now going for bankability. Bankability basically means now drawing where it will show positives for the private sector to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Once those terms of reference are done, we engage the private sector. We are soliciting for funds for that bankable project.
Okay.
And getting a transaction advisor. Remember, this is the first time regionally the corridors and or the railways are now going for private sector engagement. So we don't have that adequate experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we are getting a transaction advisor as well to help come up with the best deal for our members. Yeah, so that it's not biased.
Yeah. The Southern African Railway Association's conference and exhibition, which is coming up in the October. What's on the table to entice exhibitors and visitors and delegates?
So in terms of capacity building and the mandate of SARA, we have been moving from railway operators to pronouncing railway industry and other players. An industry has its operators, an industry has people who manage the infrastructure, an industry has people who manage the ICT, an industry has financiers, and an industry has manufacturers and suppliers. All these players are unique, they need to be recognized, their voice, their expectations need to be accounted for. And for Sarah, this is what we are doing. Even universities, like we discussed or talked to earlier, they are important because they are building human capital. So what is the Sarah International Rail Conference? We bring all these industry stakeholders together and we say, for example, in this year, we'll be pronouncing the master plan. This is what's coming. This study, by then, because the conference is coming, is going to be held on 25th and 26th of October this year. And by then, we'll already have the consultancy running, developing this master plan with the financing from the African Development Bank, as I mentioned earlier. So with this study going on, it will be a point of people contributing to the development of the master plan. All these players in the railway industry will be able to contribute to those terms of reference and say, no, look, for us, this master plan needs a futuristic procurement plan because we exist to supply the railway industry. So what new lines are coming up? What will be the demand like? That affects planning for plant and equipment.
It does, especially with the lead time.
Exactly. Otherwise, industries are closing. And this is where we're talking job creation. Currently, in the high-speed railway project, all infrastructure is being imported and installed on our continent.
It is?
Yes. Nothing is being constructed within the continent. Nothing is being manufactured within the continent.
Well, we have to be careful when we say that because, you know, we've got workshops going down when we talk about the continent. We've got workshops going down in Egypt. We've got assembly plants and manufacturing facilities in Nigeria.
Yes.
You know, so we can't say that there's limited capacity because there is capacity.
It's being developed now.
And it's being developed now. What my concern is like in the, you know, the African high-speed rail thing,
yes.
South Africa has been considered as the manufacturing hub. I think it's between South Africa and Zambia.
It's South Africa, yeah.
Okay. And we have no manufacturing.
Exactly. And like, this is why we are saying
sector has been decimated.
This is why we are saying when you have a master plan, then you have a procurement vision agreed for. And this is what Australia, as an example, did. They had a master plan and then they said, look, this has to be supplied by our own industry within Australia. And now from supplying their own industry, they're even able to export.
Yes.
Same thing for Japan. This is what they did. And in Japan, they actually have a term for it. I've forgotten the term, but it refers to inbuilt technology, where they check their demands, they see what's suitable for their island, and they develop for it, and they supply.
Yeah.
Similarly, for China, we cannot ignore that. So this is what we need for Africa as well. We need capacity to build our engineers thinking and innovating for Africa.
Yeah.
If we have a dependency where everything has to be imported all the time, where are the jobs we are talking about? What are our engineers, what are our economists doing? We need to encourage capacity building, research and development, so that we can even evolve from the SGR, the high speed railway, the standard gauge. We can evolve later out of our own initiative and not being driven to evolve to be supplied commodity.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome.
I look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.